In our pastor's pep talks, we've been going through slowly through Psalm number 46. And today we come to this final little segment of Psalm 46. What a wonderful psalm it is. And what a wonderful psalm of encouragement and also inspiration and instruction for us in this day in which we find ourselves. I'm going to read the psalm to you just now, and I'll read it in its entirety to just get into the context and to bring us to the conclusion of this psalm, a word to bolster your defences, and I trust that it has done that for you. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy people, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder, and he burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength. And so, as I said, we've come to this final message in Psalm 46, and we've looked at a number of headings, and we've sought to encourage one another. We've looked at an essential reflection, looking back at the context of which the psalmist, we believe, who was Hezekiah, or even perhaps one of the prophets at that time. And we've looked at the background of this psalm. They're in a struggle against Assyria, and Hezekiah is standing strong with the king. Then we looked at an exceptional retreat. God is our refuge. God who's sure and steady and safe. Then we looked at some excellent resources. We spent 3 pep talks thinking of those excellent resources. We come to our Heavenly Father who has an abounding and an abundant supply of grace and mercy and forgiveness, who's patient and long-suffering with us. Then we looked at the Saviour who's with us, and the Lord of hosts is with us, the one who met Joshua before he went to Jericho, the one who's the captain of the host of the army of God, the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us, no matter what circumstance we face. And then we looked at the Holy Spirit and his part that he plays, that inner strength, that inner fire that burns within our hearts, encouraging us. Well, the last main thought today is an extraordinary ruler. The psalmist brings us to that place where we think about this extraordinary God, this extraordinary ruler who rules over the affairs and the issues of the nations of the world. When Luther faced much opposition and persecution, Luther, that great reformer, he had an ally in Philip Melanchthon. And he was not as courageous or as brash as Luther was. Once when he was warning Luther that if he continued on the path that he was going, that he was going to perish, or they would perish, Luther replied, "If we perish, Christ will perish." And he went on to say, "I would rather perish with Christ than live and agree with a bunch of heretics and hypocrites." It was Luther that wrote that psalm, "A mighty fortress is our God." Luther had a wonderful understanding of the greatness of our God. And I fear that we may have lost something of that awesome wonder of who our God is. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18 and verse 19, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved." Sometimes I challenge folk to have a holy imagination. What do I mean by that? It means not to be reckless or wild or outlandish or arrogant or silly. Or have a silly idea of who God is. But neither should we allow tradition, opinion, weariness. I mean, the word of God says, "Be not weary in well-doing." Oftentimes, the constant plod in a heedless, careless, indifferent world and a godless age can weary us. Sometimes weariness, or even sometimes familiarity. We become too familiar with godly things. And we learn many a lesson in Scripture about that. And it causes us then to stifle and to limit who our God is. Well, the psalmist here says something that encourages us to start again to think of who our God is. In fact, in a number of places he says, and this one will blow your mind, the earth declares the glory of God. So chew on that for a wee while. Do you see who God is? Well, the psalmist brings us to that place in this psalm where we need to look again. He says we need to look again to our God as we face the challenges of life as we find it today. And he gives us three things that we can do, and I want to go through them quickly for you. He says, review his works. Review his works. Verses 8 to 9 says, verse 8 to 9 of chapter 46, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, and he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Thinking of the battle that they had fought and didn't have to fight, and they're thinking of many's a battle they'd fought in the past. You know, in the corresponding account to Psalm number 46 in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, we read this. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. God did it. The only part that the people had to play in this battle was witness it, to see that it was done. They saw that God did it. They witnessed what God did. That is what we need to do in every situation and every setting. Consider what God has done. When you read the newspapers, when you listen to the news, when you converse with others over this pandemic, always keep in the back of your mind what God has done, what God can do. May that be the filter through which we look and deal with every challenge that we face in every day. I love that song. God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. We can look back and see what God did at Calvary. We can look back and see what God did in history. And we can look back and see what God did for us personally. And there would be a good thing to do over these days as we face perhaps an easing of the limitations that are being placed upon us, but nevertheless being a growing frustration perhaps within our hearts. We want to get up and get out and get going. Always view everything through the filter that God is on the throne, and remind yourself of what God has done. Think of the 10 top things that God has done for you since you came to know him. Now think of the 10 top things. There are many things, but and start to ponder all that the Lord has done. Review his works. The second thing that he says is, we are to reclaim his words. Verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We read in Isaiah 40 verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and they shall not faint. The psalmist is saying the exact same thing as Isaiah is saying, only he says it in abbreviated form. People often ask me, how do you wait on God? What does it mean to wait on God? Where do I begin to wait on God? Some people think, and they come at it in a kind of a benign, inactive, motionless, lethargic, kind of a stalled approach. I can't even call that an action because that's inaction. Well, what does it mean to wait on the Lord as we reclaim his words? It is to slow down. Slow down enough to hear what God is saying. You know, God speaks through circumstances, through situations, through the challenges and through the conflicts of life. God speaks in many different ways, and I haven't time to try and spell them out to you. Slow down enough to hear what God is saying. Slow down enough to meditate in what God is saying. Think about it. Think of what it means to you and what it means to your life. Think about how he's applying it. You see, God's voice is a still, small voice. It isn't always speaking the thunder and lightnings of life. He speaks in the still, small voice. And meditate upon it. Think about it. Think about it long enough to ponder what it means to you. And then slow down long enough to heed what the Lord is saying. How we deal with the circumstances, how God is guiding, how God is leading, it is to slow down. But waiting on the Lord is also to step in. We need to consciously, deliberately and daily come aside into the presence of God. And I know what you're thinking. Sure, God is with us all the time. And I know that the psalmist said, where, in Psalm 139, whither shall I flee from your presence? But are we always conscious of that fact, that God is always with us? Can we oftentimes act and interact without the awareness of God? I think so. We need to humble ourselves and draw near to God. That's what the Word of says. The Word of God says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Surely one of the things that we are learning in these days is how weak, how fragile, how vulnerable and how fickle our world is. We're not nearly as invisible as we thought we were. And God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. When we think we can handle this, when we think we can deal with life, when we think we can step forward without ever returning and receiving from the Lord, we need to humble ourselves. We are far too independent, dependent on our own strengths. We need to realize we need God. I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee. And then it is to stir up. Think of that, of who God is. Think of what he's doing, why he is allowing it to happen. He's the great creator God, he's the sovereign God, and he is the all-conquering God. And I want to say to you that whatever happens in the future as a consequence of COVID-19, nothing that's happening now and nothing that is happening in the future changes who our God is. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Yes, our lives might change. The circumstances of our lives might change. And the ambitions of our lives might change. But nothing changes our God. Get a grip of this promise that came through Isaiah in chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. So stir up your heart to know that God is on your side. God is with you. And God is fighting for you and me. Stir up your heart to believe that we have victory over the mental thoughts and the way the enemy comes at us through our thoughts and through the practical issues of our lives, through our changing circumstances. But to wait on the Lord also means to strike out. Yes, to strike out. Not at people, not at our circumstances, not at the government, nor at our own personal situation. No, strike out is to strike out with your heart filled with praise and glory at the blessing of God, our great God, to a world that is waiting to understand what is the foundation or the basis of the hope that the Christian has, where it's founded. Is that not what the psalmist is doing here? It is those who were still, he was saying, that knew God's presence. In the face of overwhelming odds, declaring that when they faced those odds, they were still. God came to them, instilled courage and confidence in their hearts. And they saw God work, and now they're telling it. It is to strike out and tell of what the Lord is doing. What is God doing in your life? What victories are you seeing? What obstacles is he removing for you? What challenges is he enabling you to overcome? get on our Facebook page and send in little comments of what God is doing for you. And then the last thing, verses 10 to 11, remember his war plan. Yes, remember his war plan. In a moment I'm going to share with you some verses that I believe are saying that God wins. We win. From Genesis to Revelation, what we are confronted with is a battle against good and evil. And in just in case you haven't read the last chapter, and I trust that you have, the last chapter declares that God's people win. God's people win because God wins. The victory has never been in doubt. The climax of this victory is when Christ returns and sets up his millennial reign and kingdom. The enemies of the cross are now silenced. Every disease is halted. And every child of God is delivered safely and victoriously. And Jesus says, I have lost none of them. You know, my dear friends, whatever happens, as a child of God, we win. Now listen to some of these glorious, inspiring and encouraging verses. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. For the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9 says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 45 verses 6 to 7 says, they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there's none besides God. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all of these things. Psalm number 98 verses 1 to 3 says, O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the earth has seen the salvation of our God. So we know the conclusion, folks. That's God speaking of the future. God wins. And because God wins, we win. We're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. The victory is already ours. And as we face our time and our challenges, may Psalm 46 bring great comfort and help to you as you continue to ponder its truths. Let me finish this little series of a word to bolster your defences. It's that song we love to sing, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that shall be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. May God bless you. May your defences be well bolstered in Jesus Christ, knowing that whatever circumstance we are in today, God's with us. God has given us great resources. And God has given us great promises. In fact, God is with us. And all we need is God. And when God's on our side, we're in the majority and on the victory. And we can look forward to a greater, brighter, more glorious day. Because the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let's pray. Father, bless your word, bless your people, bless us in these days. May we raise up a mighty nation to honour King Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. God bless you. See you again soon.